Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the summit with Adam Tuggle. I am so blessed to be with you guys on today on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday right here on the Spirit Alive Network. We are live. And again, I want to say God bless everyone on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday, whether you're listening to me on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Today is a very, very great day because we all know what the Bible says. This songwriter says that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name. And if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you are listening to me, but if you're listening to me right now, you're blessed because you're in the land of the living. That is a reason to give God praise. We welcome you to the show on today. Today, we have a very powerful show on today. I have been in my word all week, and I believe with my whole heart that the topic for today is very, very timely on today. The topic today is about prayer in our children. The Lord wanted me to tie the two together. Basically training up a child in the way they should go. On this past week here in Indianapolis, we all saw those that are listening to me in Indianapolis. You all know about the mass a six-person shooting that happened in our neighborhoods of a young teenager that killed six members of his own family. We here at the summit send our condolences to the surviving members of that family. In Jesus' name, the Lord knows who they are. I don't remember their last names, but the Lord does. And we here at the summit and the Spirit Alive Network send our condolences to that family. But what took me here was two things: that situation and the Bible class that I was in via Facebook. This past Thursday at my church. And the thing is that the one of the problems that is happening with our young people is that the church itself has fallen away. And not only has the church fallen away, but America, the world itself has fallen away from its first love. This is some of the reason, not all of it, but some of the reason why we as a city, as a state, as a country, as a world are going through some of the turmoils that we are going through around the world. And so we need to return. And I know I said about prayer and children on today, but the Lord he's moving. And this is something that is taking place right now. When I started doing radio ministry, I asked the Lord and I told the Lord, whatever you had me to say over the air, I'll say, as long as it comes from him, because I don't want my will to be done. I want his will to be done. So on today, we're gonna be talking about prayer, children, and what we can do for our nation, for our world. It's not now. Let me do a disclaimer real quick for the world in general. The disclaimer is it's not gonna get better. We know this because of the coming of the Lord. Generations will wax worse and worse because the Bible does say that. But we can pray for a little bit of peace. And we can pray for our young people, our middle age, our elderly, the things that we are going through, the problems that we are faced with. I say it every time that I'm on the show and on my podcast, I say this. These are praying times. We all know this. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And we, all the time, we should pray. Every day we should pray. Every time, every minute we should pray. We have several examples in the Bible. David was a great person in the Bible, a great example of a person that prayed consistently. Daniel is another person that prayed consistently. We have to keep each other in prayer. We have to keep our children in prayer. We have to keep our families in prayer because we don't know what is going to take place the next minute, the next second, the next hour. And I know I'm saying that wrong, but we don't know. We don't know for whom the bell tolls. It might toll on us. It might toll on our family members. I know for me, as I stated a couple months ago, I lost a family member. One of my cousins passed tragically. It was out of nowhere. And I will say this: he was younger than me, and it was heartbreaking because you didn't see it coming. You never see the problems and the issues and the problems that we go through. We pray that they stay away from us, but that's not going to be so. So we know that problems are coming. We know that issues are coming, and we know that we're going to go through some heartache. We're going to go through some pain. We're going to go through some suffering. But in those moments of suffering, in those moments of tragedy, in those moments of loss, in those moments of non-belief, we have to pray. We have to pray. And my mother was a great example of that when me and my brothers and my sister were growing up. She would come in just about every single night and anoint us before we would get up and even go to school. And the thing was, it wasn't the fact that she knew. It was the fact that she knew that the power of prayer and that God would cover us. And that's what we need to do for our young people. That's what we need to do for our families. The Bible says that where I see the blood, I will pass over thee. And so we need to apply the blood of Jesus, not the blood of goats and bullocks, not the blood of our ancestors, amen, not the blood of Adam Tuggle, not the blood of Job, not the blood of Sarah, but the blood of Jesus. There's power in the name. There's salvation in the name. There's deliverance in the name. And we have to use that name. We have to use our weapons of mass destruction. this battle that we are in is not a natural fight, even though you might go through it. And I don't know who I'm speaking to today. You might be going through right now. I don't know who I'm talking to. But sir, ma'am, sister, brother, I hear you. I see you. I know you're going through that testing trial in your life right now. But if you pray, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. So if we, as the body of Christ, we, as the people of God, if we pray, because when we pray, we get results. Prayer brings results. Non-prayer, not praying, does not bring any result. Well, it brings results. I'm not going to say it doesn't bring results. Not praying brings results, and praying brings results. Praying brings the best results. Not praying at all, not having a prayer life, is it brings a bad result. The result that not non-prayer warriors do, and I'm going to say non-prayer warriors, they sugarcoat their prayer life. They have a sugarcoated prayer life. Let me show y'all what a sugarcoated prayer life is. A sugarcoated prayer life is you pray when you want something. You pray only when you're in trouble. You only call God when you need him, not when he needs you. And let me tell you something. Let me get this picture set up for all of us. God does not need us. We need him. We as people, some of us, we walk around with a chip on our shoulder. Like we don't need, like if we have all the money, if we have all the cars, if we have all the clothes, and we have this, and we have that, we don't need nobody. We don't even need Jesus at the time point. Look, I heard a sister, I heard of a sister on social media, and she was asked a question and by a person on another social media account saying, do you need God to have a relationship? And she said, homie, you need God to go to Walmart. You need God to go. You need Jesus to go to Walmart. And it was funny to me when I heard it, because when the sister said it, she said, you need God to go to Walmart. And I started laughing, but it's very, very true. You need God to even walk down the street. We need Jesus more than anything in this world. And we need prayer. We need fasting. We need to see results. And look, let me tell y'all something. And I don't mean to go here. We have a new foresight on what the church should look like. We have a new foresight on what the church should look like. I'm going to say it one more time. We have a foresight in the body of Christ on what the church should look like now. This foresight that we see, or this vision that we so-called see, is not the vision that God set up in the previous church. What I mean by the previous church is the old school church. I'm talking about the church where the mothers would, where the mothers of the church would have you on the altar, where the pastor would sit you down if you made a mistake. If you made a big mistake, he would sit you down, or she would sit you down and silence you. Not let you work in the church with a spirit on you, knowing that you're sinning. But it's okay now. It's the way of the world now. But we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray for our pastors. We need to pray for our bishops. We need to pray for our leaders. I witnessed during the riots at the Capitol building that happened at the beginning of this year. I witnessed something during those riots. There was a lot of false teaching in there. There was a lot of false teaching. Now, no matter, and this right here is not about politics. And this is not about a political call. This is a Jesus call now I'm talking about. We saw a lot of falseness in what I saw. I saw a lot of falseness. But I saw some good in there too. I saw a little bit of good. And you might say, well, Adam, how do you see a little bit of good out of all that happened at the Capitol building? Well, the good in it was the people that tried to riot the Capitol building went after somebody, went after the people in the chamber, the senators and the Democrats and the Republicans and the vice president, our former vice president, Mike Pence. The thing I saw was I watched one of those senators. There was a video that got linked out. And one of the senators that was hiding, and the Lord showed me something. In the midst of this senator hiding, she was at the forefront. See, and you might say, well, how was she at the forefront? She was fighting, but yet she was hiding. She was hiding physically. But spiritually, she was fighting because this woman, this woman that was in the Senate, she was down on her knees and she was praying. And I believe, and this is my own personal opinion, I believe that's one of the things, if not the main thing that kept them all together. That kept them from harm. And the one thing that God showed me was in that whole situation was when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Not one person in that, I believe in that Senate, was hurt. Not one person. The thing that I saw was the power of prayer being worked on, the power of prayer being used. In the power of prayer working, there's a song that says, the blood still works. When you call upon the name of the Lord, it works. We have so many children that are out here hurting and pleading for hope, for change. Look, this has nothing to do with race. This has nothing to do with race. This has nothing. I'm talking about all young people now. I don't care what color you are. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're Asian. I don't care if you're Latino. I don't care. Whatever. I don't care whatever race your children are. We as people have to pray for our young people because these young people are getting in a lot of dangerous stuff. Our young people need prayer. Look, I'm going to tell you. My former pastor, she, in one of her last sermons before she, before the Lord called her home, she said in one of her sermons, she said, we have young people that are looking for life in all the wrong places. But the Bible says that he came to give us life and more abundantly. These young people and even just people in general are looking for life in all the wrong places. They're using things. They're using temporary fixes to a major problem. The major problem is that sin has taken The iniquity has taken over. And they don't know the way out. They're blinded by the way out. The door is open. Salvation has been told unto them. But the enemy still has a hold on them. The enemy still has a hold on our young people. The enemy still has a hold on our young adults. Some elderly, the enemy still has a hold of with different things. Even in the church. Even in the church, we see people coming and going out in and out the church. Why? Because there's not enough, I'm going to say it, there's not enough power. What we think is power is not power. What we think is anointing is not anointing. Because our yokes are not being destroyed. If yokes are not being destroyed, there is no anointing. Well, how can you say that? Because the Bible says it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. If the anointing is not there, nothing will be destroyed. If the power of God is not in the room, yes, you might see people jumping, shouting, speaking in tongues, and all that. But that don't mean a thing if there is no anointing. You can jump, you can shout, that does not make you saved. Jumping and shouting does not make you saved. How do I know? Because the Bible says that, first of all, gifts and callings come without repentance. Just because you preach doesn't make you saved. Like I said, gifts and callings, the Bible says gifts and callings come without repentance. The Bible also says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. It didn't say sinner. It didn't say saint. So if you jumping and shouting, that doesn't make you saved. Because a sinner can praise the Lord. A sinner can jump. A sinner can shout. A sinner can run around the church. But that does not make you saved. But what makes you saved? What makes you born again of the water and the spirit is your life. And I'm going to say it like my former pastor used to say it. He wants a life for a life. He wants a life for a life today. And look, let me show y'all something. These young people need to see the old school way. See, it was the old school way that brought me out. It was the old school way that brought me and my brothers. It was the old school way that took care of me and my brothers and my sister when we were growing up. It was the old school way that took us through school. It was the old school way that protected us when we needed protection, even though we didn't know we needed protection at the time. It was the old school way. It was the old school way of getting on an altar, not getting on an altar, staying there for like 2 and 3 minutes. No. Because that ain't enough. I'm talking about staying on the altar until you get hit with power from on high, until you come up speaking in tongues as the Spirit give the utterance. That's what I'm talking about. When the mothers used to be with the saints, when we used to have church with the way we used to have church was. Back in the day, we would have church so good that you would be able to go home and just go to sleep. The spirit be so high, you wouldn't do nothing. You would go nowhere. You wouldn't eat anything. You would just go home and go to sleep and have a good night rest until the next morning and then get up and feel the joy from the night before. It'd be like a spiritual hangover. And anybody I've never had one, but I'm told that when you have a hangover, when you have a natural hangover, it hurts. Your head starts spinning and everything, and you done come down from your high or whatever you want to call it. And you, your head starts throbbing and everything else. Well, guess what? When you on a spiritual high, let me tell you something. when you have a spiritual hangover, you'll feel so good. And you think that, I don't know who I'm talking to, but that hangover, after you've come down from your high, after you've come down from the drinking, after you've come down from whatever you've come down off of, I guarantee you the Holy Ghost is better than what that high you got the night before or the day before. Because I can guarantee you, look, I had I was downtown one day, and there was a young man. I didn't know him. I was on my way home from downtown, and this young man stopped me, and he didn't know me. I didn't know him, and he said, "Hey, bro, yo. I got this good stuff over here. I got this good stuff." And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. What? I'm like, good stuff. What are you talking about? He said, yeah, I got this. I got this weed over here, you know, da, 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 da. And I looked at him and I said, no disrespect, but I don't do that. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. And he began to walk away, and the Lord told me to tell him, he offered you something. Now you offer him me. He offered you that, and you said, no, thank you. Now offer him me. So I stopped the young man while he was walking away, and I called him back over. I said, you know what? In my appreciation, now, I don't do what you do. I'm not judging you. And this is my exact words to him. I'm not judging what you do. You live your life. But I don't roll that way. But since you offered me something, I got something better than that. I got something better than what you have. And it is called HG. And he was like, HG, what is that? What is that? I'm like, if you go to a book, you'll find out what it is. I'll give you the book title, and I'll tell you what it is. And he was like, okay. He said, well, what is it? I said, it's called the Holy Ghost. He looked at me and he started laughing. I said, you go to Acts 2 and 38 and you'll find out what it is. I said, it's the best high you could ever get on. It's the best high you could ever go on. When you come down, you'll feel so good. And I said, I just to show respect to the young man, even though he was, you know, he in his own mind, and I'm not judging anybody when I say this. Out of respect for that young man, I obliged him in his offer. I obliged him with something else because the Lord told me to do so. See, and you see how the Lord smoothed that over. You see how the Lord smoothed that over? See, I'm going to go here. The reason why we're not getting the same results that our ancestors of the church got. Remember when your mother or your father, or if you were raised in church, you've been born, bred, and raised in church. Brother, if you haven't, if you went to church and your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, or whoever went to church, and you too, and me too, the ones that are born, bred in the church, you knew, and this is how you know you were born and bred in the church. when your mama and your daddy told you to get up and go to get up and get ready for church, there was no question. There was no back talk. There was none of that. And this is what we need to do for our young people now. We need to set the example. There is no back talk. There is no now. Right now, I understand COVID is out and all that. I understand that. Don't. If your church is not open, I understand. Now, I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about when we go back to, in the house of God. If you're not already in there, take your children. Not send your children to church. Take your children to church with you, with you going along with them. Because just as well as they need it, that parent needs it too. Mm-hmm. See, and you know what? Let me share something with you. Parents, I'm a parent. I'm talking to myself. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. But when they're old, they will not depart from it. Do we, as the body of Christ, really know what that means? Do we really know what that means? That means that you protect the seed that God has given you, just as Christ protects his children, that you will give your very life, if necessary, your children. Even if they're not even living with you anymore, even if they're older, you're still protecting your children. You know why? Because you're praying for them. Because you're fasting for them. Because you're going down to the altar for them. But you have to build the foundation for them. You have, look, my parents built a foundation for me. Now, has my life been peaches and cream? Has my life been easy? Have I dotted every I and crossed every T? No, I have not. But what the Bible says is that train up a child in the way they should go, for when they're old, they would not depart. That which you imparted into them will not leave them. They will always remember that. They will always have moments and memories of you doing what you did as a parent as far as godliness. I remember my mother getting up in the middle of the night praying for us, anointing us all. I remember, look, let me say it. Let me say this. This is a parent. Go through your children's rooms. Raid them. You have the authority by the blood of Jesus. You have the authority by God to raid their room. If they live in your house, you have the authority to raid their room. I raid my children's room. I make sure I know what they're doing. Cause I'm look, let me show y'all something. Me and my wife, we tell our children all the time, I am not your friends. I am your parent. There is a difference. There's a big difference. Now, is this being mean? No. Is it wrong? No. Is it good for them? Yes. There is a whole bunch of parents trying to be their child's friend. I'm not your friend. I told my middle son yesterday, I'm not your friend. I'm your parent. And whether they step parent, whether they biological, whether they not, if they live in your house, now, listen to your children. Now, hold on. Now, I'm not going to – there has to be a balance, because there is a lot of parents – I ain't going to say a lot. There are some parents that say that children are to be seen and not heard. Now, I don't believe in that. In some situations, yes. But I don't believe in just be seen and not heard. I don't believe in that, because there's a lot of things that these young people are holding on to. There are a lot of things that these young people, because parents have told them you are to be seen and not heard, or they've given the analogy to be seen and not heard. I listen to my children. My wife tells me sometimes I try a little bit too hard. I try to listen to all three of my children, even my 4-year-old. I try to listen to them when they have a problem. I try to listen to them because, number one, let me show y'all something. When you listen to your children, don't you know that can teach you on what way to be a parent? Because no child, if you have more than one child, no child is the same. You have to deal with the children on so many different levels. I'm learning that in being a parent. I can't deal with my oldest like I deal with my 4-year-old. I can't. Why? Because of the age difference. And they have different personalities. They have different likes. They have different dislikes. You have to learn your children. But it is a parent's job, mother and father, fathers, I'm going to get to that in a minute. It is the parent's job to guide and protect your children. Thing that might try to come up against them, as long as they are living in your house, God has given you the authority to do so. Because there is a world out there. Once they get out there, there is a world that's ready to eat them alive. The Bible speaks of it. The Bible speaks of it. If there wasn't a world or a generation ready to eat them alive, the Bible wouldn't say, save yourself from this untorn generation. Well, Minister Adam, that was what that verse was saying, was that was for them back then. No. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means his word is for then and now. There is nothing new up under the sun. This is why, when I first got into radio ministry, when I first got into radio, period, when I did my first ever radio show, I wanted to do something that would help people. And actually, radio was prophesied over me. By a minister named Minister Doug Smith. I was in a service one night, and the man of God was preaching, and after he gave a beautiful word, the Lord began using him. And he did not know me at all. He didn't know me from Adam. That's funny. I'm sorry, y'all. That's funny. He didn't know me, y'all. But the Lord spoke to him and said, you're going to minister around the world. And at that time, I didn't know what he was talking about. I, for real, didn't. And I'm like, I'm going to minister around the world. And in my head, I'm like, do you not know that I don't really like going overseas? So I like going out. Now, I've never been overseas, y'all. I've never been to any foreign country at all in my life. I've just been here in the country of the United States, and I've traveled around the United States a little bit, you know, here and there. But I've never been out of the country, so I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. Never been out of the country. I really don't, and the places that I'm thinking about, I really don't want to go. And this is before COVID, y'all. And I'm thinking like, okay, wait, this man is saying I'm going to be ministering around the world. What is he talking about? Because I ain't never ministered outside the country, none less the world. And a couple weeks later, I was on my job, and this lady came in on my job, and she had a flyer for a radio station. And I asked this young lady, I said, you know, my parents have just started a work, and can I come and just give a testimony about the church and tell them where the church is and all this stuff? And she said, well, let me talk to my boss and see what he says. And we exchanged numbers and things like that. And she began to tell me, let me talk to my boss, get a meeting set up, and we'll discuss it. All right, fine. She said, give me a call next week. Gave her that call. Meeting was set up. I went in to talk to the person that she wanted me to talk to, and I began to talk to him and everything, and I began to tell him what I wanted to do. And it just so happened that the way God set it up was amazing, because if God is in it, let me show y'all something real quick, and this is a side note, and this is just a little golden nugget of a word. When God sets up things, he sets it up great. Okay, if it's for you, what God has for you is for you. Let me tell you that. All right. Now, this radio station, let me show y'all where God set this up. I wanted to do some promos for my pastor and my first lady, my mom and my dad. And they had a building and everything, and I wanted to go in this radio station and tell them where the church was and everything. And I went in, and then when I was going to the place, but this is before I got to the meeting, I got in, I was driving up, and I looked, and there go the church right there. And I kid you not, the radio station was down the walkway, was right down the sidewalk of our church. Kid you not, did not even know it. Went into this meeting. The man that I talked to, I began to tell him what I wanted to do. And the man, to make a long story short, the man said, how about I give you a radio show and you can do all the promos that you want to do and even do a show? And I said, are you serious? He said, yes. And he didn't know that I wanted to do radio back in high school. I wanted to do a Christian radio show on Saturday afternoons. And the school would not allow me to because it was deemed a conflict. It was a conflict because it was what my teacher said was political reasons. I don't know. He said it's a hindrance between church and state. And I said, okay. And then the man began to tell me, second, I don't believe you have the voice for radio. Okay. So I left it alone. I left the dream of me doing radio alone until this time. So what I'm saying is, we need to have more of Jesus in our children's lives. We need to have more of Jesus. We need to have more of God in our children's life, because without him in our children's life, without him in anything, and look, this right here is what the world, you see, the world right now is in a nightmare. America is in a nightmare. And I'm going to show you why. And I'm going to show you America's nightmare. Mainly America, because I live in America. Nothing against any other country. I love everybody. But America, let me tell you something. And I don't care from the White House to the poorest house. And I'll say it to the President of the United States, to the former President of the United States, we need to go back to our first love. I know. And it ain't just for the president. It ain't just for the government. This for the church too. Church, we need to go back to our first love. The church needs to go back to the church and stop trying to be and play church. Just like we say the government is trying to play God, we're trying to play the church. It is time for the church to be the church. It is time for the church to leave the church. When I say the church, leave the church, I mean God is the church, so God needs to leave his own church and stop trying to lead the church. Let God be God. America, let God be God. And I ain't talking about all these false gods neither. I'm talking about the one true and living God. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Let Jesus run the show now. My former pastor used to say sometimes, let the pastor be the pastor and stop trying to be the pastor over everybody. You ain't the pastor. Let the pastor be the pastor. Well, let God be God. I speak today. I speak to every man, woman, boy, and girl on today. Let God be God in your life. Let Jesus be Jesus in your life. You stop playing God and let God be God. God don't need no help. There's an old song that says, God don't need no matches. He's fire all by himself. He don't need no help from us. I told somebody one time, I believe I was in the car with my brother, and he, this happened years and years ago, and he was driving a little bit too fast. I ain't gonna say speeding, but he was driving a little bit too fast. And I told him, I said, "Bruh, slow down." He said, "What?" He said, "I'm doing the speed limit." I said, "Bruh, look, God don't need no help calling us home. I'm not ready to go home yet. God don't need no help taking us out of here. Slow this car down." Amen. Because God don't need your help trying to get us home, okay? And I meant heaven. That's what I was talking about. We don't need to crash into anything to get to heaven, okay? All right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Amen. I love my brother. I love you. I love you, Marquise. But I understand that everything that we go through, scientific fact states, and this is a scientific fact, that with every action, there's a what? A reaction. Well, guess what? I said I was going to do this show. Everything natural, every human being on the face of the earth has a soul. Every human being has a soul. What that soul does, it connects you to spirituality. And I'm not talking about false spirituality either. I'm talking about it connects you to the Holy Ghost. It connects you to angels. It connects you to everything because they have something to protect. Amen? You have an investment in the spirit. You have an investment. Your soul is an investment. And once that soul has been invested into the spiritual realm, then you now are connected to the spiritual realm. Your soul is the most important thing you have on the earth. Why? Because it is spiritual. That's why every war that has been fought is not just natural, it is spiritual. This is a war that we cannot see of natural eye. This is why we need spiritual eyes to see the spiritual war. There are spiritual wars happening everywhere. There are spiritual wars of battle in the spirit. What do you think spiritual warfare is? This is why we need prayer. This is why we need fasting, because these are our weapons to help us battle in this spiritual war that we cannot see with natural eyes. We need Jesus. We need the Lord to help guide us through this spiritual war. We are pilgrims passing through this present world. That is why we are connected. Everything that you see, every human being that you see is connected to the spirit, is connected to spirituality. And I mean godly spirituality. I'm talking about Christianity, the Bible. I'm talking about all of that. Because he give life, he take life. The Bible says the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives life. He breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. And he said, man became a what? A living soul. So this is why we need prayer. This is why we need to pray over our young people. This is why we need to pray over our families, over our enemies. Because sometimes your enemy, look, let me show y'all something. Let me show y'all something with the spirit, with spirits, with demonic spirits. Sometimes our enemies don't even know that they are being used by the enemy to be enemies of us. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes our own enemies don't know that they're being used by the enemy to be enemies of us. Thank you, Jesus. How do they not know? Because they are blinded. The enemy has put spiritual blinders on them. They really don't know the reason why they don't like you. I know the reason. You know the reason. If you feel with the Holy Ghost and they don't like what you stand for, the reason is because the spirit that's on the inside of that person does not like what they see in you. They don't like, the spirit down on the inside of that individual does not like you. Stand to be in your presence. It can't stand to be in my presence. Why? Because the spirit of God is like a fire. If the spirit of God is on the inside of a person, and that fire is being seen, that fire spreads. Natural fire spreads. If you've never seen a natural fire spread, it spreads very quickly. If you don't put the start of that fire out quick, it'll spread quick. And that's the same thing with the Holy Ghost. That's the same thing with the spirit with the spirit on the inside of you. And if you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, it is like a consuming fire. It spreads. That fire spreads and it burns out everything that's not of God. And the enemy does not like that. He does not like his stuff being burnt out. That's why I said earlier, it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. The yoke is the enemy and the things that the enemy brings up on a person, the bondage. Well, if that spirit that is not of God sees a spirit of God, it's not going to, light and darkness have no fellowship. Light and darkness have no fellowship. Let me give you an example. When it's night, do you see the sun? When it's day, do you see the stars in the sky? Is it dark or is it light? He divided the light from the darkness way in the beginning in the book of Genesis. When he divided it, that means they don't have any fellowship, which is in the natural and the spiritual. That's why we can say whatever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever shall be bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. That is why when he kicked the devil out, that's why he said, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You speak what's bound. You curse what's bound. What the Bible says, the power of life and death lie in the what? The power of the tongue. That means that whatever you speak, it shall happen. That's why I said, when you get up in the morning, don't say, this is, oh, man, I don't feel like going to work. This is going to be bad when I get here. I'm going to quit. Why? Why are you speaking negative over yourself? Speak negative, speak positive. Because your words have power. I might have a bad day today. And even if it does look like a bad day, don't you speak it. Don't speak that. That's why the Bible says power, the power of life, the power of life and death lie in the power of what? The tongue. We saw it. We saw it at the Capitol building. Example. Great example. When Donald Trump said what he said, what did they do? They listened to the man. And what did they do? They went down there and did what they did because of what a person said. Words have power. Words can destroy. Words can build up. That's why we need prayer. That's why we need to pray over our young people. That's why we need to speak over our young people. That's why we need to speak over America. America, that's why we need to speak over the world. The world is in a nightmare right now. America is in a nightmare. They're in a living nightmare. The one of the things, and let me show y'all something. One of the things that brought this living nightmare on for America is that they turned their back on God. And it's not right. God told us in his word, I shall not have no other gods before me. He said it in his word. He's a jealous God. He's not going to have no other gods before him. He won't do it. He will not give his glory to another. That's his glory. Just like, look, let me show y'all something. Just like it says in Malachi. In the book of Malachi, it talks about tithes. Now, I'm not going into tithes, but it says in there that basically if you don't pay your tithes, you a thief. You a thief. And you a robber. God said, have you robbed me? They asked the question, how am I robbing you? You robbed me of tithes and offerings. But that's not the only thing we're robbing God of. That's not the only thing that the people of God have robbed God of. That's not the only thing that the world has robbed God of. We robbed him of his glory. We robbed him of his mercy. We robbed him. We are robbing God out of his just due. Not just tithes and offerings. Yes, some of us rob him out of tithes and offerings. You ain't paid your tithes, pay your tithes, please. And the same thing I'm saying to y'all, I'm saying to myself. Anything that I'm not doing, Lord, take it out of me so that I might do what you have called me to do. If I'm not praying enough, Lord, take the non-praying out of me and put in a heart of flesh. Take out the stony heart of not wanting to pray and put in a heart of wanting to pray more. Give me a hunger for you. That's what we need. That's what we need. It's time for the church to come off of the sincere milk of the Word of God. You've been saved 20 and 30 years and you're still on the sincere milk of the Word of God? The devil is a liar. You become a stillborn baby. You stealing spiritual huggies. What is wrong with you? Grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up, say ouch, and go on. Be like the prodigal son. Be like the prodigal son when he came to himself and he understood. Be like the prodigal son when he came to himself and understood that, hey, look, I'm not supposed to be in this place. Where I was is where I'm supposed to be. Where I was, I had everything that I could ask for. And now I'm in a place where I'm eating out of the pig pen. Some of us are eating out of the pig pen of life. And I'm not just talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. Some of us in the church are eating out of the pig pen of life. We just do anything and just accept anything and everything. Anything and everything goes now. We just bring God anything. We just come to God any kind of way. The devil is a liar. Don't you know he is a holy God? Don't you know he's a jealous God? Thank you, Jesus. I want to say this before I say this next thought of mine. Prayers go out to the actress of the family of actress Cicely Tyson, who was a pioneer, who passed on this week at age 96. But I remember one of her movies that she was in, and she was, I believe it was, she was in a Tyler Perry movie, and it was A Diary of a Mad Black Woman. And in one of those scenes, her daughter came to visit her, Cicely Tyson's character in the movie, her daughter came and visit her. I guess she was at a nursing home, and her daughter laid on her knees and she said, the character said, "Where did I go wrong, Mama?" And Cicely Tyson character said, "God don't want no man before him. Don't you know that he's a jealous God?" You have to pick up the pieces of your life. We all have to pick up the pieces of our lives and ask God, "Where do I start?" This is where prayer is necessary. You may not know where to start, but I guarantee you, if you come boldly to the throne of grace, and when I mean come boldly, come with everything you got. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you've been beaten down. I don't care if you feel like you're not worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy, despite what you have done. you come boldly and sincerely to the throne of God. Ask him, where do I pick up the pieces of my life? How do I come out of this? I want to come out. You got to really want to come out. You want to come out of the situation that you're in. You want to come out of the bed of sin that you're in. I encourage you today, come on out. Come on out. I challenge you to come out today. I challenge you to come out today. Come out of the bed of affliction. Come out of the bed of sin. Come out of the bed, because you know what? That bed of iniquity will eat you up inside. It will eat you up. The devil will only play mind games with you. The devil will only tell you, well, you said you in that, so ain't no need of you asking God for forgiveness because he won't forgive you. Oh, yes, he will. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. You better stop listening to that. You better stop listening to them people. You better stop listening to your best friend, sister, or guy, man, woman, whoever you might be. I don't care if you're sinner or saint. If you got negativity around you telling you God's not going to be, I mean, even the devil himself, if it, and I'll even go deeper than that. If it's your mama and your daddy telling you God won't forgive you, the devil is a liar. He ain't going to forgive you for that one, because you just like your mama. You just like your daddy. The devil is a liar. Maybe you're a young woman and you've been told only thing you're going to be able to do is lie flat on your back. Only thing you're going to be able to do is do this and do that. And all this will be wrong with you and that will be wrong with you. The devil is a liar. I speak against that what the people have said about you. I speak against it in Jesus' name. Maybe you're a young man. Maybe you're a middle-aged man. Now, I don't know. Maybe you're going through a crisis right now. And you don't know if you're going to make it out. Maybe you've been told some bad news where you think, okay, look, this is it. This is it for me. You shouldn't, and if you're middle-aged, you shouldn't be going through no midlife crisis neither. No midlife crisis, male or female, no midlife crisis, especially if you are a saint of God. I rebuke that midlife crisis. That ain't nothing but a spirit, and it's a demonic spirit. I rebuke it. The devil is a liar. You will not be what the enemy says you are. You will not continue going down the same road that the enemy says you will go down. You will not go down the road that your mama, the wrong roads that your mama, your daddy, your sisters, your brothers went down. You will not be like that. I don't care what age you might be. You can change right now. You can change right now. I dare you. I challenge you today. In the words of an elder that I know, I double dog dare you. That's two dogs too.
Well,
we have to learn how to live life. We have to learn how to live life. And look, let me show y'all how to live life. Life itself is not how many cars you have. Life itself is not how much money you got. Life itself is not how many houses you got. Life itself is a lifestyle. And I'm not talking about a lavish luxury lifestyle. I'm talking about how you live your life. Live your life for the Lord. I dare you. I challenge you to live your life for God and watch him bless you. The Bible tells us. The Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't you know he owns the cattle of a thousand hills? Anything in the world that the world is offering you is not better than what God has for you. His kingdom is big. His kingdom is big. Look, and he even called, look, the devil don't call you, look, the devil's kingdom, let me show y'all something. The devil does not like anybody. The devil don't like nobody. And I even believe the devil don't even like himself, because he know he messed up. And he trying to make you mess up for his mess ups. Now, I'm gonna tell you like I told one of my children. I said two of my sons were arguing, and I came in the room and I'm like, "What are y'all arguing about?" Well, this one made me do this, and this one, I said, no. I said, "What did you do?" My son told me what he did, and he got in trouble for what he did, and the other one got in trouble for what he did. But what I told the other one that could have kept himself out of trouble was listening to his brother. I said, "Look, if your brother tells you to jump off a bridge, are you going to do it?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, if he's telling you to do something wrong, why would you do it?" He said, "I don't know." So I'm going to ask you the same question. If the devil tells you to do something wrong and you know it's wrong, like, prime example, good example, smoking. Everybody knows smoking is wrong. Everybody know. I'm just using this as an example. I'm not judging nobody. Everybody knows smoking is wrong. It tells us in ads that smoking is wrong. It can lead to cancer. It can lead to all this type of stuff. You know smoking is wrong. Why would you want to kill yourself? I'm gonna tell you like Joe Clark said on Lean On Me when he was telling that boy, when you smoke crack, you're killing yourself slower. You're killing yourself. You're just doing it slower. Why do you want to kill yourself with sin? You know sin is wrong. Why do you want to stay in the bed of sin that you're in and kill yourself? You are committing spiritual suicide. Those of us that want those of us in the church and those of us outside the church, why do you want to stay one more night with the frogs? Why do you want to stay in the bed of sin that you're in just because your flesh feels good? Just because it feels good to your flesh. Your flesh is not going. Your flesh ain't going to tell you nothing right. And when I mean your flesh, I'm not talking about this bone and skin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your mindset. Whatever your sinful nature wants to do, you came in this world. Everybody came in this world in a sinful nature. That's why the Bible says you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Because when you came into the world the first time, you came into this world a sinner. When you're born again of the water and the Spirit, then you're born into righteousness. You're born into the family of God. You're born into the kingdom. Ooh, Jesus, if you have any questions, I hear you, Bishop. I hear you, Bishop Kirk.
I'm not Jesus. Wow.
If you have any questions, see, that's the way the Spirit of the Lord works. That's the way the Spirit of the Lord works.
Well,
if you have any questions, feel free to call in. Amen.
714-364-4337. That's 714-364-4337. If you're in the studio and you have a question, if you're in the chat room and have a question, if you're in the chat room on Skype, or in either any of our chat rooms, the one on Instagram or the one on Blog Talk, please relay your comment or question right now. If you're in the studio, please press your 1. I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your number. But I'm here to tell you, this young man told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So if you know, I don't see any ones, but that's because this young man put it down, and he does not play. He makes it very plain. That's why I love him. That's why he's on the Spirit Alive Network, because that's what we believe in doing. Whether you come and call in and say, I want to be saved, whether you're sitting in the chat room or not saying, I want to be saved, I know that the servant leaders here are going to give you a word that is going to encourage you to give your life to the Lord.
Amen.
Not a ministry, not a person, but he wants you to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
And see, it's not about your name on a roll. I'm not asking you to come into the ministry of Adam Tuggle, because my name means nothing. My name means nothing. My name means nothing. My name just means Adam. I just have and look, minister don't mean nothing.
Nope.
Minister Adam don't mean nothing. You know what? You know why it don't mean nothing? It's just a fame. It's just a beautiful title for a servant.
No, it's a position. We're a servant. Yeah. Say that.
It's a title for a servant, and I'm here to serve you.
That's right, amen.
Just like a waiter comes and gives you your food. They're there to serve you. They're there to give you what you need.
Right, amen.
Except the only thing is you might leave a tip for that waiter. Well, guess what? This waiter don't need no tip today. I'm going to leave you a tip today. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to read verse 39 too. For this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off. That means everybody. That means every single person on the face of this earth, from the day of Pentecost up until now, needs the Holy Ghost. You came into this world a sinner. You don't need to leave this world a sinner. And the only way for a person not to leave this world a sinner is to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
I don't care if you like it.
If you don't like
or
it,
not.
I don't care.
It's
Bible. I don't care. I don't care if I lose friends over it. I had a friend tell me one time, oh, boy, man, you too saved. Thank you. Thank you very much. What you saying thank you for? Because that means, which I wasn't bragging on myself. Now, let me clarify. When I said thank you, I was saying it in a spiritual way, because even though I haven't reached perfection, but for a person to see me as being too saved was a compliment to me, because I know I'm doing something right. I know I'm living the best way I know how. And I know that they see it. So it was a compliment to me. And I told that individual, because at first I got mad. I was like, wait a minute, are you trying to insult me or something? And it was like, no, you just too saved. You don't do what we do. Then I took it as a compliment. I'm like, yeah, I don't do what y'all do. Not to bash y'all, not to say I'm better than anybody. I'm not better than anybody. I'm worse than, without Jesus, I'm worse like a man wearing two left shoes on the same foot. But I'm grateful to be saved. I'm grateful to have the Holy Ghost. But everything that I have is because of him. From my natural possessions to spiritual, everything I have is because of him. And I cannot, look, I told the Lord from a hospital bed when I was 18, Lord, if you let me live, because at that time I was dealing with problems with my heart, and I'm saying this as a testimony to somebody, if you give your life for this ministry, and I'm not talking about the ministry of Adam Taylor, I'm talking about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about his mission, not mine, not Adam's mission, but the mission of the kingdom of God. If you give your life, see, the Bible says in the book of Romans, it's Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just your reasonable service. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice. And a sacrifice is whatever that person chooses to do with that sacrifice, that's what that person chooses to do. That's what a sacrifice is. Whatever the Lord chooses to do with your life, that's what he chooses to do. You say, Lord, have your way. And I hear a lot of, Lord, have your way, but they really not meaning what they're saying. Lord, you have your way in this area, but this area, I'll take care of this area. Mm-hmm. Stop it.
Well, come on, young man. Bring it
Stop
on
it.
Home. Hallelujah.
Stop it. I'll eat this part of the word of God, but this part right here, I don't think I like that part. I'm not going to eat. Eat the spinach.
Come on.
Eat the spinach. Eat the broccoli of the word of God, because it's going to make you stronger. Drink the milk. And I'm not talking about the sincere milk of the word of God. I'm talking about that vitamin D, that vitamin C. Drink that spiritual orange juice. Well, I'm lactose intolerant. Well, the Lord knows that. You ain't lactose intolerant in spirit. Some of y'all acting like y'all lactose intolerant in spirit. Stop being lactose intolerant in the spirit and drink the milk. Eat the meat. And I'm not talking. Now, look, let me show y'all something. I'm bringing this home now because we're getting ready to go home. But those that are newly saved, I'm not talking to you all when I say eat the meat, because y'all can't handle strong meat yet. Still drink on the sincere milk of the word of God, because it builds up your understanding. It builds up your mental, your spiritual mental capacity. But those of us that's been saved for 10 and 20 and 30 years, and you still on the sincere milk of the word of God, something wrong with you. And I'm going to tell it like it is. There is something wrong with you. And those that are in the world, you're looking, you're like, I don't want to go to church because there's too many hypocrites. I hear you. I hear you. Don't look at them. If the pastor's doing wrong, I'm going to say it like my former pastor said it. Don't you follow me. If you see me doing wrong, don't you follow me. And I'll even go deeper than that. Anybody that sees Bishop Cook doing wrong, don't you follow her. And Bishop Cook will agree with me. That's why I said it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Say that. Come on now.
If you see a minister or a man or woman of God doing wrong, and you say, well, I'm not going to church because I see too many hypocrites, don't follow the hypocrites. Follow Jesus. He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Lay aside every weight. That's a weight. Lay it aside. Addiction. That's a sin. That's a weight and a sin. If you got an addiction of smoking, drinking, whatever it might be, lying, fornicating, whatever, I don't care. Whatever sin. It's no big sin and there's no little sin in the eyes of God. Lay it aside and come unto him. He's waiting for you in Jesus' name. I hope that you been blessed today.
Amen. Glory. Glory.
I pray
to
that
God.
You get pray that you all have a blessed weekend, blessed rest of your weekend. I pray that you have a very blessed week in Jesus' name. Next week, I'm just going to make the announcement right now. Next week, we're going to be talking about the human side and the spiritual side of life on next week. And we're going to see what human nature has to do with spirituality and see if it's really connected. And it is. Because as we see in the school systems, we see there's a division in there. Some scientists say that there's no God. Some scientists say that there is. So we're going to talk about it on next week. All right, y'all. God bless you all. And if you don't hear me next week, as I say in every show, if you don't hear me next week, I will see you in the rapture. Acts 2:38 again says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. God bless you. Continue to be safe during this pandemic. Wear your mask. Use your hand sanitizer. Wash your hands in Jesus' name. Listen to the CDC in Jesus' name. God bless you all in Jesus' name. And until next week, this is The Summit right here on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.